See you tonight, wherever you are, at home, looking in, watching in, here tonight. We want to see the Lord. And there's one way to see him, is by the opening of the Word. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And before we get into the Word, let's just go right to the Lord in prayer. Well, God, we thank you so much for being able to gather here tonight, Lord. We're gathered around the Word, even though all of us aren't here in one physical location, Lord. And we know, Lord, that devil tries to prevent things and hinder and cause all kinds of distress in the world. But there's one thing that we have constant confidence in, and that's the power of the revealed word. And that revealed word is still just as powerful today, because you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're still moving in your people just the same as you have for the last 2,000 years. And on before that, all through the scripture, Lord God, you're still the same today, Lord Jesus. And we believe it, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help something to be said tonight, Lord, that will quicken, Lord, and strengthen and help us on our journey, Lord God, in this time, Lord Jesus, that we're living in, to draw closer to you, Lord God, we pray. Grant it, Lord, that you'll just give your blessing to the service, Lord, here and in all the people's homes that are watching in, all around the world, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this blessing. Amen. So I want to speak tonight on a little topic that I kind of been studying on the last few days, called the age of deception. Because, of course, this is the most deceiving age there is that Brother Brown told us about, and how everything just kind of winds up in this age to be so deceiving that people are caught up in this deception. Well, let me not get into preaching yet. Let's read the scripture and then we'll get to talking about it. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as if we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You can be seated. There is a lot packed into that little scripture. First of all, it talks about in verse 2, if you want to just kind of leave that up just for a second, I'll just kind of walk through this scripture a little bit. In verse 2, it talks about how we're not talking about things in craftiness. We're not walking in craftiness, and we're not handling the word deceitfully. And our gospel in verse 3 is not hid. It's not declared in some kind of, in other words, we're not trying to trap people into this. And I think maybe in the past sometimes the word has been preached maybe deceitfully or craftily or whatever, but the word can be, the gospel that we have is a gospel that can be declared openly and plainly from the beginning to the end, especially now with the truth that we have the liberty to be able to preach the end, from the end to the beginning, the beginning to the end, even into the depths of the symbols in the book of Revelation and the seals and all those things and what they mean. It can be declared openly. And by that declaring those things openly, you can see that the devil has blinded the people's eyes to the truth in this age. And this is the age where God has just pulled out all of the stops and given us every ammunition, everything we have need of to combat the devil. Amen. And the devil's rising up to blind the world to the truth, to blind people to the truth. So let's see what he says in verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when darkness comes, God will raise up a standard, and the standard is His Word, and He gives us His Word to shine a light in a dark place, to give us a way and a reason to walk, a way to know the hour and the place that we're living in.
Amen.
Now maybe just to kind of start things off, I want to just read this quote from Brother Branham in The God of This Evil Age, where he just kind of set the stage as he was delivering that message. He said, I'd be a hypocrite to try to bring something that I know that you would be pleased with, and it'd be against God's word, or something to draw a crowd or something like that. I wouldn't be what I'm here to be, a minister of Christ. I want to bring something that is of vital use to you, not just to be seen, but to think it's something that if I die today, tomorrow it'll be anchored in your heart to go on and serve God. So I want to just read that tonight to just kind of echo that sentiment that, you know, really when you think about what the gospel is not something what Brother Luis was preaching on Sunday. It's not just something for us to have a club that we join and that we're all part of a big movement or anything, but it's something that we're actually trying to get out of here. And when you, me and Zach were talking on the way over here, when you're born again, you begin to see things for as they truly are, and you begin to look around the things that are taken on the earth, the place in the earth, and the way that people are, and really your desire becomes that I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here at all costs. And you see, the way that we get out of here, the way, if you would imagine the Satan coming in with a bunch of cockroaches and the lights are off, and the way to have power over that is by turning on the light. That's why that Brother Brandon preached that sermon. There's a man here that can turn on the light when he was down in that cave out west. And he said, there's a man here. The man that can turn on the light is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he does it by the word.
Amen.
So the gospel is not hid. Satan is blind to the eyes of the unbeliever.
Amen.
The light of God's word has shined in our hearts. And again, I'm maybe quoting Brother Luis. He preached that excellent sermon about how the light shone in the days of creation. The light was turned on and it began to shine on the earth, just as the light, when it's turned on in your heart, shines and begins to show the word, so that you read the Bible with new eyesight. You begin to be able to see how you're supposed to be walking, and the light exposes Satan. Now really, the one thing that really got me reading the message, The God of This Evil Age, is because I've really been going back and reading through all the sermons that on the seals that Sister Christine transcribed. And which is a great blessing. If you haven't taken advantage of that, sometimes I profit a lot more from just being able to read almost than from listening. But when you can read and just really digest and get in there, then things I sometimes can really begin to open up. So if you haven't already, seek that out and see if you can take advantage of that. But some things I believe began to open up to me that I had not seen before. And one of those things I believe it's revealed in the seals is what the devil is doing and how to combat that. So if you go back to, if you go into the book of James, chapter 1, verse 14 to 15, James kind of lays out the path of how the workings of the devil proceed from just like a little small little thing, and it unfolds into a greater and greater thing. And because James in chapter 1, he says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So it starts off with just a little temptation. It seems like a little innocuous, just a little temptation. A man turns his head, looks at a woman, or all these different stories maybe that you can relate in your own life. A man wants to go witness to a woman at work, and he goes and sits down with her at a cafe, and they have a little cup of coffee, and before long they're committing adultery, and then one thing leads to another, and all of a sudden death is at the door. And you see, that's how I believe that is the thing that's being revealed in the seals, is what the devil is doing as he starts off with just a little saying and works on his way to a doctrine that kills you and on until death is at the door. But you see, God has given something to combat that. And that's why those are called the combat beasts. He's given you his word to combat the workings of the devil. The word is the thing that will combat the devil in your life. As you go through those different phases of your spiritual journey, the word is the thing that will bring an end to the devil in the first seal, the devil in the second seal. The word is the thing that will bring an end to those things. That is the thing that will drive it out. So you see, you must stay with the word or you'll be living in darkness. If you don't stay with the word for your age, you'll be living in darkness. You know, Brother Brown taught us there was four stages that through the bride tree was restored through Luther and Wesley and Pentecost and through the word. Now think about that. Now if you've come out from denomination and all those kind of things, you're still kind of living under the light of a Pentecostal age. You're living under the light of a previous age. Are you really living in the light of the word? If you're not living in the word for your day, then you're still living in gross darkness. And I believe that's one of the things that Brother Brown was really hitting at when he preached this, the God of this evil age is, if you're not living under the light of the word for your day, then you are worshiping unknowingly. You begin to worship the God of that evil age without even realizing it. And you see, the devil has got people so duped that they're worshiping him without even realizing what they're doing. They sit in church and they think they're right and they think they're doing correct and everything, but yet they're worshiping the wrong thing. So you see, going back to James chapter 1, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the last thing is death. And I believe if you're going to go back and look at the seals, that's why the last horse rider, his name that sat on him was death. So you finish up with the four horse riders and his name is death. What is supposed to conquer death? The word in you is supposed to conquer death. In this age, you have the privilege of being the one that Brother Brown said, this is the age above all the other ages that I would want to live in. This is the age where God has poured out all of his word to give you the ability, if you will yield yourself to the word, to conquer, to overcome death, to overcome that last horse rider. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25 to 26, it says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You know, it's so interesting how when you really begin to study these little messages and really get just almost analyze them line by line to see what comes out. Brother Branham says some very interesting things. And one of the things I noticed as I was studying this message, the God of this evil age, is Brother Branham, he nailed down how a seed planted manifests itself later as a mature thing. And let's look at how he breaks this down. He says, as a seed starts in the ground, it comes up through carriers, the life of it, but it ends up the same seed that it was when it went in the ground. And the same way the seed, now listen to these three things that he lays out. The same way the seed of deceit fell in the ground in Eden is the same way it ends up in the last days. The seed of deceit, the deceitfulness, thinking you're right when you're wrong. It's now it's not just a seed though. Now it's a mature thing that's cloaking the eyes of the people so that they can't see the truth. Just as the gospel was when it fell to a denomination at Nicaea, Rome, it ends up in a super organization. Now see, back then at Nicaea, Rome, it was just a seed, a little small little thing. But now it's a mature thing that's coming forth. Now the devil is, Satan is trying to round up all of his body, all of his bride, as Brother Branham explains in this message, into a one world order, a one world system of uniting church and state and all those kind of things. You see, it's gone from something a little small, a little seed, to something that's mature. Just as the seed of the church fell back there with the signs, wonders and the living Christ among them, it ends up in the last days under the ministry of Malachi 4 and restores back again the original faith that was once given. So there's a seed that was planted on the day of Pentecost. And in this day, it's going to be a mature adult bride, a bride that knows what she's doing here and what she's standing for, a bride that realizes that she's here in this evil age to prove to the devil that she is not going to fall like Eve did. You know, that is what you are doing here. That is what you were predestinated to do. To be an example, to be a light to the world, that to be a light to all of Satan's minions, all of his kingdom, that you are not going to fall, that you are going to take all of the word and stand on it. Now, let's just kind of think for a little bit now. If something real small begins to move into over through process of time into something big, from a little baby form to an adult form, when's the best time to deal with it? You want to nip, like Brother Wade was saying, you want to nip it in the bud. You want to tackle it early. You don't want to wait till it's got a crown on its head and it's enthroned and it's sitting up there in the temple of God making itself be God. You see, you don't wait to deal with sin. You deal with sin early on. You don't wait to take him at his word. Take him at his word early as you can. As soon as you feel the Lord dealing with you, hear the Lord dealing with you through the preaching of the gospel, quickly run to the altar, run to take care of the thing. And you don't wait to preach that sermon until death has taken over. You see, we don't wait. You preach that sermon as soon as you see evil, the devil moving in a congregation or moving in a situation, you go ahead and preach that thing as quick as you can. Because you know, if you wait and hope that it'll handle itself, the only situations won't handle themselves. The only thing that can handle the situation is the word.
Amen.
The word is the handler of the devil. That might not even be good English, but the point gets across. You see, all these situations. Now, Brother Branham, when he was preaching this sermon, the God of this evil age, he began to, it started off almost like, he's coming in real nice and everything. But then he ramps up and he begins to lay into all of the things that people are doing wrong, all the blindfolds that the devil pulls over your eyes where you begin to think that you're doing right.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and that's another thing that I've really been meditating on, is that today of all this age, of all ages, you go on Facebook and everybody thinks they're right. Everybody has all the information that they've got. You look at CNN and they think they're right. You go on Instagram or any of these other social media platforms and everybody thinks they're right. Any church you go to, everybody thinks they're right. Everybody thinks they're right. And so you see, you've got all of these voices that you hear, politics and the sin in the world and your imagination of your own mind and all these differences of opinion, but there's got to be something that's right.
Amen.
Everyone believes they're right because this is the most evil, deceptive age where Satan has blinded the people to think that they are right. Now you know that's what Eve's problem was. Well, she was deceived, but she thought she was right. And there's even a quote where Brother Brown said, even to this day, she still thinks she's right. And her deception was, I know I'm right. And that's what many people, when they go to church, they say, the devil pulls the blinder over their eyes and they begin to think, well, I know I'm right to not go to church. I know I'm right to dress the way I want to. I don't have to dress a certain way. I know I'm right. I know I'm right to be able to do things contrary to scripture. Now, I'm listing out some things here, but just examine your own self as I'm preaching this. Because anything contrary to the word, anything off of the word will bring death. And that's what Brother Branham was getting at when he preached the seals and all these kind of things. You get off the word and it will kill you. It leads to death. I know I'm right to deny what the preacher says. I know I'm right. That's the worst deception, to sit in a church or a congregation or whatever and believe that you're right despite what the word says.
Amen.
Brother Branham said in paragraph 97, he said, of this message, he said, notice he preached it in Eden. To who? To Adam's bride. And she fell for it. he deceived her into questioning one of God's words. So let's see what he might have said. He must have said, it is not scientific to die in this holy church, or you will be schooled and educated not to believe in such unreasonable things as death. I don't care if God's word did say it. It's unreasonable. Oh, look at him today. God is a good God. You're in his holy church. Why, you cannot die, but God said you would, and that settles it. See him today? Oh, just belong to church. It ain't what you do or this, that, or the other. Just come to church and be a good member. Cutting your hair, that's nonsense. And wearing shorts and putting on paint and going to dances and a little beer once in a while won't hurt you. As long as you don't indulge in it, my goodness. Frankly, I wish you children would take it so that they could learn whether they liked it or not. There he is, the God of this age, this evil age. Amen. You see how he can blind your eyes to think that just whatever you want to do is according to the word of God when it is not. Right. This deception is to think that you're doing right when you're not. You can think that as long as you don't indulge in it, it's all right to drink a little beer and all that kind of stuff. And now I'm trying not to preach a legalistic sermon, but you see, it goes beyond just clothes, hair, and dress. It goes into all facets of the Word of God. As the deeper you go, the more the devil will attack you on things and get you to just sit there and say, well, I know I'm right. And when you say, I know I'm right, and it's contrary to the Word of God, you can't move forward. You can't keep moving on. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:3, he said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Back there in the Old Testament was it written, and Jesus would quote that a lot, and Brother Branham and all of the preachers after, you know, we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, this is really the only age where every word has just been so unveiled that we can know the name of God. We can know how to be baptized. We can know how to, all of the mystery part of being born again, the mysterious part of justification, the mysterious part of sanctification, the mysterious part of the Holy Ghost, all of those different kind of things, what the true baptism of the Holy Ghost is, what the baptism of the Holy Ghost does. What the true token is, that full obedience to the Word of God entitles you to the token. And so the full Word of God is opened up so that you can live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if you turn away from that every word that we have access to, then you're blind and that will produce death. It's the word that will defeat the devil. You see, when people turn away from the word, listen to what Brother Branham said in paragraph 74. He said, notice how beautiful the scriptures tie themselves together in every age. When the church world not have the word of God to rule over them, they accepted a murderer, Barabbas. What did this do? It exalted Satan, the god of this evil age, to the place that he's always wanted. Now listen, for Satan is not spoke of as a god of any other age but this age. He wasn't spoke of the God of the age of Noah. He wasn't spoke of the God of the age of Moses, the God of the age of Elijah. But this evil age, oh, don't miss it. He is the God of this evil age, worshiped by millions and billions of people, and they don't know it. But let's let the scripture uncover him this morning, and let's see. Then you'll know. Then you'll know when the scripture uncovers the devil and his works, then you'll know, and you'll know how to recognize him and how to defeat him every time through the experience that got. Now listen, this is one of the scriptures that Brother Brown read when he was preaching this message, Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So this is the age where false Christs, anointed ones that are anointed, but not, don't have the word, the revelation of the gospel in their soul, but yet they're anointed on their spirit, will rise up and they do signs and wonders. Now notice how Brother Branham would explain how to tell. You tell by the false teaching, by the teaching, right? Now, that's very plain, maybe more plain than it should be, but people can be anointed in their spirit And not have the true baptism of the Holy Ghost down in their soul. Now notice, Brother Branham, as far as I know, there's no place where he said that when someone is anointed or someone jumps up and runs through the building or something like that, that there might be a problem with that. He never said if someone is anointed, that the absence or presence of the anointing is a problem. The absence or presence of the revealed word is the problem.
Amen.
I just want to draw your attention to that and really point that out. Maybe this is a hill that I'm willing to die on, is that there's nothing wrong with being anointed. And I think sometimes we get in our minds that if you're anointed, there's something wrong. There's nothing wrong with feeling the presence of the Lord or feeling a blessing or riding in your car and you get so stimulated by the revelation that you begin to raise your hands up and begin to shout a little bit. Now, I think sometimes that, you know, we get to the place that we major so much on the revelation of the word that we begin to think that it's wrong to have any kind of moving in the spirit.
Yeah.
And y'all just bear with me, but I just want to really hit that a little bit. There's nothing wrong with an anointing. In fact, the false anointed ones are, both have the anointing.
That's right.
The real genuine are also anointing,
yeah.
Anointed. But what the anointing does is it quickens the word that they've held down in their heart and it makes it come alive. But the false anointed ones are they're not false because they are anointed, but because there's no word to quicken. So there's nothing wrong with being anointed. Now, it's not a badge of honor to say, well, I've never felt the anointing in my life. What kind of badge of honor is that to say that you're so in the Word that never from your birth until your adulthood and on beyond that you've never felt? I believe that the new birth gives us the ability to recognize the presence of God, recognize when you're playing a song that He likes, recognize when you're reading the scripture and he identifies you in that scripture and himself in that scripture. We should be able to recognize when God is pleased or dissatisfied with something. You know, you begin to look at, I had in my notes here to talk about blasphemy, because you know, when you see the Spirit of the Lord moving in a situation and you begin to speak out against that, that's getting into scary territory. That's getting into a place where, you know, you Brother Branham warned us against stuff like that. Blasphemy is to make fun of or ridicule or call the works of the Holy Spirit the works of the devil. So when you see the works of the Holy Spirit moving in a congregation and doing something and you say something like, well, I wonder if, like somebody told, I think it was Brother Branham that told this story, that somebody was saying, I wonder if John on the Isle of Patmos had too much spaghetti the night before he fell asleep and had a wild dream.
Yeah.
Well, to say something comparable to that, after the Spirit of God moving in an assembly, to speak out against the Holy Spirit moving, that's getting close to blasphemy. And I say that because a minister is supposed to warn people. Like Brother Luis was preaching about a watchman. A watchman is supposed to stand up and say, attention, attention, don't do that, you're on dangerous ground. And when you begin to not have enough spiritual discernment to speak out against the moving of the Spirit, that is dangerous ground that you may not be able to recover from. Brother Brown said, and Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, know what a danger lies there? Let me back up a second. He said, what did Jesus say? He said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to man that blaspheme the Son of Man, but whosoever shall blaspheme the Holy Ghost is never forgiven in this world or the world to come. And the Bible said, he said this because they said he has an unclean spirit. Know what a danger lies there? Be careful. So let's walk humbly. See, we don't play church no more. Them days are over. We're living in church now. He said, if you speak a word against the Holy Ghost, it'll never be forgiven you.
Amen.
Now, Jesus had not yet been glorified, so the blood cell wasn't broke, but he was blaspheming Jesus and said, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost now? It's to call the work of God the devil. So be careful. That's never forgiven. Nowhere at all. Never can be forgiven.
Amen.
anyone who would declare the works of God to be the devil, Jesus said that it's never forgiven. So be careful how you class God's work, fanaticism or mental telepathy or the working of the spiritualists or something like that. Better be careful. But that was their attitude. So, and I would echo that today, to look upon God's work. You know, we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need the working of the Spirit in our lives. Right. And we know that what activates the Spirit, or however you would say that, is the Word. That when you hear the Word and believe it, it allows the Spirit to come in and move upon your life. Amen. To quicken the Word and bring it to pass. Right. But many times that process will result in something happening. Somebody will shout or somebody will jump or whatever. And there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, we should be desirous to see that. I want to see that in my life. And many times, you know, that won't happen because we're so prideful and our hearts are not in the right place to allow the Spirit to move. We get ourselves so built up in our pride to where if the Lord really was moving in our heart, we would say, well, I'm not coming to the altar. I'm not going to raise my hands, and I can't even clap my hand. Do you know the reason why you don't clap your hands is because of pride? The reason why you can't lift your hands when the Spirit is moving is because of pride. And the thing that will dash that pride to pieces is the Word of God. If you can open up your heart and say, I'm ready to die to myself if it kills me, if I have to lay down in front of everybody and act like a fool, I'm ready to do it and give my life to God and watch your pride be dashed into pieces. Let me get back on my scripture. Yeah, I believe sometimes you got to hit things a little bit hard. And I believe, I'm sorry, I shouldn't apologize. Shouldn't apologize for preaching the Word. But some things need to be said. Last week in Matthew 24, Brother Brown said it was the most deceiving of all ages, all the ages of deceit. From the Garden of Eden all the way down, there's never been an age so deceptive as this age. False prophets will rise and show signs and wonders if possible to deceive the very elected. See, now just the cold, formal, starchy churches and so forth of man-made theology, that wouldn't. Amen. In other words, he said, that's not going to deceive anybody. It's not going to deceive anybody to have a cold, starchy, formal church. But what will deceive people is to have a church with the Spirit moving, what I was saying earlier, with the anointed ones, where the false doctrine is being preached, people not understanding how to get born again, but yet the Spirit is moving, people are shouting. Like Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little, and what he was speaking of was not going to the gym, but he was speaking about jumping up and down. That's wonderful, but let the Word of God be received down in your heart. Now it sounds like I'm on the other side of the fence, doesn't it? But you see, there's a balance to all things. The deception is that it's close. The deception is that it looks like the real thing. It's up there almost like the real thing. Just leaving out one word is all you have to do. Promise of the age, very great time. Christians everywhere, take heed to the hour we're living in. You see, this age is the most deceptive of all ages because the devil can make the counterfeit look like the real thing. And that's why we need the preaching of the gospel, the deep teaching of the Word, the opening of the seals, the seven thunder mysteries, which people discount and say we don't need, because that is the thing that will give you power to combat the devil. That is what those combat beasts typify. The combat beasts, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle represent, are symbolic of the Holy Ghost in you. The Holy Ghost in you that combats the Satan working in your life. Brother Branham said, we find now this evil age is to prove to Satan that she is not like Eve, that she is not that type of a woman, and she will be tried by his word, the bride, as Abraham, as Adam's bride, was tried by the word. Do you know, as I was reading through the seals that Brother Dale preached years ago, that's one of the things that he called out as the second seal was opened. The second seal was a rider on a horse with a sword, and by his false twisted doctrine, he brought death to people. Then what will combat that? What will combat that was the sword of the word, that sword that fell into Brother Branham's hands on the mountain. The sword of the word will combat the false doctrine that Satan is sowing. Satan is bringing death through his false word, and God is bringing life through his word that's changing you, that's molding you after you get the new birth. As you grow up the statue of a perfect man, it's molding you and bringing you into his image. And this evil age is to prove that you have heard the word and you will not fall because you have become the word. See, now is not the time for fearful hearts and knocking knees over world events. Now is the time for confidence in the word that we have heard. Now is not the time for secret questions in the parking lot about the new birth really is, and how do I get the new birth, and how do I know it, and all these things are last minute explanations about what the message is about. Now is not the time to get somebody to come over to your house and explain to you all of these things that you should have been studying out all these years as the doors are closing in this final hour. Why did you wait until now? Now is not the time for last minute explanations. You know, think about Noah when one morning he looked up, he woke up in his bed and he realized that the door was shut and he had nothing to do with the shutting of the door. It was God that sealed him in and sealed him out. And now all that was left was to preach to the souls that were in prison, to preach to the lost that had rejected the message. Well, that's just coming fresh. I don't want to believe that the doors are closed, but when the word is rejected, when the word is rejected, it's getting close. It's getting close now. But see, as I was looking at studying on the second seal, is that the seals, if the word is what will change you, then one of the things revealed under the second seal is that you also have to stand a test by the word. You have to be tested to prove that you will stand according to the word, that you will not fall to some sensation or something, that you're not relying on having a feeling. You're not relying on feeling an anointing all the time. What if the Spirit of the Lord leaves you, that you're not trusting in that, but you're trusting solely in his word? That's the only thing that you can have confidence in. Not emotions, not wonderful church services, not all of those things, not that your best friend believes what you do, not that your pastor even believes what you do, but that you have heard from that still false small voice that Elijah heard when he was in that cave. You've heard from that same voice, that you've seen the same pillar of fire that Moses did, and you know for yourself whom you believed, and you will not fall to anything because you've heard the word. That's why the Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Amen. Except there come a falling away first. Now, as Brother Dale often says, you gotta have something to fall away from. You gotta have something to follow, and people are not falling away because from a new birth. If you're born again, you cannot fall away from the word because the word will keep you. You've got the comforter in there, but what they're falling away from is the true word of this day being preached. We have heard the skies have been opened to us, the windows of heaven, and all the word has been given to us, and they're falling away from that because they believe the lie and been given over to that. And let's keep reading this. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And what did Brother Brown say that? That is God. What is the temple of God? What is the tabernacle of God? It's supposed to be the New Testament tabernacle of God. It's supposed to be his church. It's his bride, where he tabernacles himself in you. And when the devil comes in and poses and sits himself up in the temple of God, he's sitting himself up in the church, deceiving the people that are supposed to know the truth. And he's showing himself that he is God, deceiving the people to worshiping the God of this evil age into the God that they think that they're worshiping, because they've been deceived. They've been deceived by not obeying the word of truth. They've turned their back to the truth, turned their back to the message of this day. And I believe one reason why they've turned their back to the message is because people have not preached the message. People have not told the people what to believe. They've not preached it in the way that it should be preached. And so it's been made of none effect. It's been watered down so much until it doesn't have any effect anymore. The gospel hasn't been preached in just a form where you just kind of, you come to church and you join something. But there's so much more even than being born again if people would preach it. God help me until my dying breath, until I'm taken off this world, to preach the gospel with everything that's in me and not hold back to preach the truth, because the truth is what will set us free. Y'all forgive me for hardly getting the words out. Let's keep reading what he said. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and know you, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, and only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because why? The reason is right here. They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, let's just bring this home. It seems like we can kind of make this, especially those of you at home and that are not sitting here in the sanctuary, and make it seem like it's talking about just somebody else way out there that we don't have to worry about. It's very easy to be judgmental of other people and point fingers at what a group, that group over there, or people that you know, or whatever. But let's bring it home tonight and bring it down to our situation. Have you opened your heart to the message of the day? Have you opened your heart and spent your time in the message of the day? Or have you been deceived into thinking that the things that you're doing, the way that you're acting that's contrary to the word, is the right way? And that you know in your heart you've been deceived into thinking that you're right. So that you say, despite the preaching of the gospel, but despite all the things that are said over the pulpit, you say in your heart, I know that I'm right. Nobody can tell me that I'm wrong. I know that I'm right. I can pull my dress up. I can cut my hair. I can put a tattoo on my face. I can paint my lips. I can paint my eyes. I can do all these things, knowing that you're not living according to the scripture. And yet you're deceived. I wonder if you could examine your heart tonight. And if you're living in that condition, now would be the time to change course and repent and change direction and turn around and come back and go the other way. Brother Branham said, see, Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, see, but failed on one promise under the temptation of the enemy, face to face. But she believed she was right. You see, that's the deception. She believed she was right. That you can sit in a church and hear the gospel preached and say, I believe that I'm right. I know that I'm right. Do you see why this day, this age is the most deceiving of all ages? Because it will be so close to, it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Because people will sit in a church next to the elect, in the same building with the elect, fellowship with the elect, and believe that they also are elect when they're deceived. Be not deceived. The Bible says that all nations, in Revelation chapter 18, he says, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. In other words, Everybody except the bride has fallen to her deceit, has fallen to her deception. Everybody except for the real, true, born again believer that has grown into maturity, that has come to the full stature, that has received the word for her day. Everybody has fallen to that deception, because everybody, if you don't have the word to combat that, if you don't have the combat beast inside of you to combat the deception of the devil, you will take the mark of the beast. Amen. And that's why the Bible says that in this day, this Laodicean age, it says that because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and put, know not, they're wretched and poor and miserable and they yet they don't know it because the wool has been pulled over their eyes and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich in white raiment that thou mayest be clothed and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Do you realize why Brother Branham so often would hit on women for not dressing right and hit on men also for not dressing right, for not being clothed right? Because his job as the seventh angel messenger was to clothe the bride of Christ, to prepare her, to adorn her in white raiment so that she could be presented spotless without any spot or wrinkle to the bridegroom. It was his job to hit and rebuke and all these things. And I say if ministers don't continue to hit on that, they're not preaching the gospel. Let me catch my breath here. You know what? Preaching on clothesline exposes the sin sickness of your soul. If your outward adornment is not correct, then it shows that on the inside there's something that's wrong. Something down on the inside. If your hair is cut, it shows that you're not in headship to authority. If you're not dressing right, it shows that your soul is not clothed by the word. It shows that your eyes have not been opened to your predicament. So we preach that, and it's scalding and hurtful and everything, to clothe yourself with righteousness so that your outside can be clothed. So that it opened your eyes to your current state. I tell you, nobody in this message should have a right or an excuse to be clothed improperly, to come to the house of the Lord and sit in fellowship with other people with their dress above their knees so that it shows their undergarments when you sit wrong. When you bend over and everybody can see all of your wares and all those kind of things, there's no excuse for that. Because the word of God should have your soul clothed. You should be clothed in your right mind. If you're not clothed by the word of God, you're not even in your right mind. And that's why that maniac of Gadara took his clothes off, because he was not in his right mind. Brother Brown said a woman that takes her clothes off is not in her right mind. And he said, she's in this message that I'm preaching from the God of this evil age, he said she's got a prostitute spirit on her. Why a prostitute spirit? Because she's wanting men to lust after her. You see, if your soul is not clothed, it shows that it will manifest itself on the outside. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. So certainly I'm not preaching legalism tonight. I'm not preaching by any sense that if you dress right or your hair is the right length that you are saved. But it shows if you're not clothed on the outside that something's wrong on the inside. And I believe that shall be preached. And if it's not preached, then ministers are dropping the bar. They're letting down the bar on the gospel. And you can see it in the way that people are living. You can see it in the horrible, nasty lives of the people that are living. That they've dropped the bar in their own lives. Because you see, the word is what will keep you. The word is what will clothe you. The word is the only thing that can combat Satan in the lives of the people, in the lives of this deceptive age. I hope that's all right. But in another sense, I don't really care. First Timothy chapter 4, he says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. In Matthew chapter 16, 24, it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me to suffer the reproach for the gospel, to suffer the reproach. And you realize, sisters out there listening in, we have one sister here sitting here tonight. But sisters, when you clothe yourself right, you cannot help but suffer reproach. because people will mock you and scorn you. Any person, any individual that's living right for the gospel will suffer reproach. A minister that's preaching the true word of God will suffer reproach. And we were talking privately the other day, me and Luis, about that, that the true, that's maybe one of the complexities of being a minister, is when you preach the truth. When you, I really believe that the best sermons are the ones when people, when you suffer the most reproach, because it'll stir up enmity, it'll stir up the devil. And when I want to stir up the devil. I want somebody to say, I have a reaction. I want somebody to either come to the altar and repent, or realize they're living wrong. I want something to be stirred up. When something is stirred up, then you can do something about it. When we preach sermons where we just stroke one another on the back and say, just say, it's all wonderful and everything, then I wonder if how much profit it really does. Right. And you can take that for what it's worth, but that's free. Brother Brown said it, has God lost control, or is he just permitting another agency to control? I wonder. The true answer to this question is, to my opinion, there is two opposing spirits in the world today at work. There can't be no more than two heads. And one of them is the Holy Spirit at work. The other one is the spirit of the devil. And in this last days in deception. Now I'm going to base my thoughts right on here for the rest of the text. The rest of our message. The two spirits. One of them God's Holy Spirit. The other one the devil's Holy Spirit. Working in deception. The people of the earth are now making their choice. The Holy Spirit is here calling out a bride for Christ. He is doing it by vindicating his word of promise to her for this age, showing that it is Christ. In other words, if the finger is moved, is supposed to move in this age, the finger will move. If the foot is supposed to move, the foot will move. The eye is to see in this age, the eye will see. See, the Spirit of God is grown into the full stature of God, is the age that we're living in. The Holy Spirit is here vindicating the message of the hour. And the Holy Spirit is doing this so that the people that believe God will be called out of this chaos. The devil's unholy spirit is here calling his church by the error, as usual, by perversion of the word of God, like he did at the beginning. Now, let me just highlight something here. Brother Branham, as he's preaching this message, he's calling your attention to the fact that there are two spirits, and there are two bodies. There are two brides. And they are both being gathered up together in this day. God is gathering up his people by the revealing of his word as he's drawing them together. And the devil is gathering up his people together by the perversion, by the lie, by the deceitfulness. He's drawing them together. And the whole process started in similar ways, started from a seed, like I was saying earlier, started from a little thing that seemed insignificant and grew into a mature form. In both instances. Yes, and now, is everybody doing okay? Amen. Y'all right if I get a little bit more deep here? Right. Everybody doing good? I know how, once we go past 8 o'clock, then kind of the sleepy eyes come on, but see, Brother Brown explained that Satan exalts himself from a child to sitting in the temple, from a little childish thing to sitting in the temple. Yep. To enthroning himself as God of this evil age over the people's hearts, to placing himself as God. Amen. And he quotes this scripture, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 2, and it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." In the children of disobedience. And if you go run that through the scripture, Brother Brown talks about how it starts off as a little childish thing. In other words, if you look at how the first seal opened up as just a saying, and it moved from a saying into a doctrine. Now there's a comparison to your scriptural journey as well, because your journey as a Christian start off with you hearing about baptism and you hearing about all these things and it was maybe just like sayings and everything. It started off as you hearing about the third pull. You didn't understand what it was. You heard about the third pool and the capstone and adoption and all these kind of things. But then moving on into the second stage, it began to take the form of a doctrine. It began to solidify into something where God is actually forming himself, coming down and making himself manifest in you through the stature of a perfect man. He's purging you of those, of all the lies of the devil. He's molding you into his image. And you see, you can see Brother Branham, as he preaches this message, he's comparing the devil moving down through the seven church, not seven church ages, but moving down through until he's in his mature form, comparing that with on the other side. And Brother Branham, he starts talking about it. He says, for as the germ of natural life is brought down, germatized from father to father, so is the life of Christ germatized. That's the reason God uses Elijah's spirit five different times. What is it? It's the handing down. He's handing down his spirit from one to the other as it's preached, a church age messenger, and it's preached until it comes down to the final age. It's been handed down and handed down from one to the other in its mature form. Listen to this. He said, children of disobedience. And if the Antichrist beginning there in the infancy of disobedience, what will it be when it heads up in the person of the Antichrist? How deceptive it'll be. How much more powerful deception could an adult give to the world than an infant's child? And he said, the spirit of delusion now working in the children of disobedient, disobedient to the word. Now I want to dwell on this just a minute. The children of disobedient, a child. Now you see, he goes on to describe how in this day it winds up just how it was when the Son of Man was made manifested on earth in Jesus Christ. They rejected the word in favor of Barabbas and it brought their death. And now in this day, they've rejected the word. They rejected the real word and it's elevated. He said it exalted Satan, the god of this evil age, to the place that he's always wanted. Why? Because they rejected the truth in this age. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And Brother Branham goes on to say, he said, Satan never come out and say, oh, well, that's not even the word of God. He admitted it was the word of God, but he put his own interpretation to it, which God plainly told them not to do it. What does this do? It makes a strong delusion for the people to believe a lie and be damned by it. Now we were, some of us were talking about this earlier. It's so close in this day that you can take snippets of what Brother Branham said and real snippets from the Bible and string them together with the wrong spirit behind them and it will be absolutely wrong. You can take scriptures from the Bible or quotes from the message and make it look like you're not supposed to be going to church. You can make it look like that we're not supposed to be listening to the fivefold ministry. You can make it look like all sorts of different things. And that's where the deception is. It looks like something, but without a real, true revelation of Jesus Christ, you will fall to that delusion. let me just kind of skip over some of these things. He says the devil believes, not make believes, but he actually believes as not, he is not saved. Talking about how you can say, well, I believe, but do you have a revelation? Do you have the correct revelation? But Brother Ram, he goes on to talk about how that deception is made manifest in people's lives. Now it sounds like he's being legalistic because he's saying Satan made it lawful. Satan's made it lawful to commit sin. And because people are deceived, they think they're right in sinning. So you see now, and the way he describes it, he says people have legalized drinking. They've legalized smoking. I'm talking about in the church now. They've legalized a woman with short hair, legalized shorts and pants and all those things. And just form your own list in your mind. Legalized everything that's contrary to the word of God. But that's why we need traffic cops. We need the minister to come on the scene and declare, like John the Baptist did, it's not lawful. It's not lawful for you to be married to your brother's wife. It's not lawful for you to do those things. It's not lawful for you to paint your face. It's not lawful like Jesus coming around the corner, I believe, as he did one day. And he went into his father's house and he saw them making it a den of thieves. And he said, it's not lawful. I believe that's how ministers are supposed to do. Is they, maybe they come around the corner and all of a sudden they realize the predicament that people are in, and it catches them just like Jesus did when he turned the corner and saw them selling people in the Father's house. And he began to take up those, that braid those ropes, and began to whip the people. Why? Because of the thing, because of their sin. We need traffic cops to declare when we're breaking the law. It's not lawful for you to do that. It's not lawful for you to behave yourself in a way that's contrary to the scripture. It's not lawful for you to rob the house of God like Malachi in Malachi chapter 3. It's not lawful for you to rob God and not pay your tithes. Do you realize when you don't pay your tithes that you're robbing God? And if you were in the natural, that you would be arrested. That's why we need the preaching of the gospel to hold our feet to the fire. If you don't pay your tithes that you're robbing God, you have no excuse to not pay your tithes despite the predicament that you're in. Your first obligation is to pay your tithes. Not because we want a lot of money, but because God said it. And you can get in your head that it's, that we don't have to go to church. I've seen so many traffic cops on Facebook getting all irate because of what they see their congregations in this particular time getting so lax and liking staying home and sitting around with their pajamas and their feet up and everything, and they cease to have true worship and they're not really entering into worship anymore. And the traffic cops are, some of them are, I was kind of laughing to myself at one brother I saw. He's like, we're done. Everybody's coming back to church. I'm tired of everybody sitting at home with their pajamas up and their feet up. People are getting lazy and lax and everything, and we're not having this anymore. Now, I'm not proposing any particular change in plan or anything. I'm just saying that traffic cops are here to set us straight, to hold our feet to the fire, and to prevent us from getting slack and lax and letting the world encroach in. You see? Well, that was like walking a tightrope. Anyway. You see, Satan tells, he's trying to deceive this second bride by telling her that all these things that she's doing is fine to do. He'll tell her there's no such thing, and I wrote down all these things that Brother Branham said, there's no such things as divine healing. Never been a case proved. Brother Branham said that is one of the things that the devil will say to put deceit on you, that cloak of deceit, to close your eyes to the truth. He'll say there's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was only for the apostles, or that divine healing was for another age. In other words, he's saying there's no such thing. Let's just stick that on the end of a lot of things that the devil could tell you about the Bible. There's no such thing as your healing. God doesn't want to heal you. There's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost for you. It don't make any difference if you're baptized in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It don't make any difference. That's another lie that the devil will tell you. It doesn't make any difference. And just apply that to anything, any kind of truth. It don't make any difference whether we know the seals or not. It don't make any difference whether we understand Daniel 70 weeks. It don't make any difference whether we know who was this Melchizedek. It don't make any difference, but it does make a difference. It makes just as much a difference as it did how you were baptized. It just makes just as much a difference as how you know who the name of Jesus Christ, the name of God. It don't make any difference if I trim my hair. It don't make any difference if I marry an unbeliever. And this is, I thought this was striking how much Brother Branham hit on this in this sermon, the God of this evil age, that we think it don't make any difference. And Brother Branham said they were never forgiven the sin of the sons of, when the sons of God married the daughters of men. They were never forgiven that. They were never forgiven that when Balaam came in with that lie and they married the daughters of men. Why? Because they thought it didn't make any difference. And God never forgave them for that. It does make a difference. The word makes a difference. Brother Branham said that, notice, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, not daughters of God, the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And it caused the sons of God to fall into this delusion and took them kind of women and married them. And it brought an age of prostitution, just like it is today, like it was in Sodom, like it's predicted to be today. Why did it matter? when a son of God marries a daughter of men, then poof, his home's in disarray. They're not walking in one accord. When he tries to lay out the true meaning of scripture to his family, his wife will come in while he's at work and she'll begin to sow discord. Like Brother Brown said, I believe those women on the ark caused the serpent seed to be passed down on the ark. And the way I believe that they did it is because as soon as Noah or any one of those would say the truth, they'd come right behind and say, it don't matter. It don't matter if you go smooching on a girl. It don't matter if you go wearing your clothes like this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. Yeah. It matters who you marry. Man, young people. I know that's treacherous to hit on that kind of thing, and it bruises people a lot of times. But yet it's the truth. Amen. Because it matters who you marry. Amen. It matters. It matters what decision you make, because down the line, if you marry the wrong person, it'll make your life a living hell.
Amen. Right.
Just the same as Balaam's teaching that he caused the pretty, intellectual, scientific women of Moab to, with their flirty eyes, their paints and powders, their fine perfumes, to entice the sons of God against their own women that worked and had calluses in their hands with no makeup on. Entice them over and let us marry one another because we're all the same people. See what the lie of the deceitfulness of Balaam was? That we're all the same. There's no difference. We're just all the same. But they weren't all the same. And they weren't all the same because they had built themselves up into conceit and pridefulness. They weren't all the same because God's word said they weren't all the same. God's word is what makes us different. God's word is what makes us a separated people. It's not that we're building ourselves up into some delusion or some pridefulness or whatever, but his word has called us to be a separated apart people. And if you'll abide by God's word, he'll lead you to life everlasting and he'll give you a peaceful life. He'll give you a life where you and your wife can work and walk in one accord. I'm sorry if that bruises anybody, but if you'll just stick with God's word, then he can patch things up and make your life a lot easier. Stay with the word. I know I'm stammering and stumbling and everything, but the Bible says through stammering lips and other tongues. See, Brother Branham, and I'll be closing up here in just a few minutes. The Bible, Brother Branham said that the God of evil, of this evil age, gives people what they want.
Yep.
And what they want, because they've rejected the truth, is a life of sin. You can see as people leave the message, they go right back into the hot tub, sitting with bikinis and all kinds of things. And they, what they want is bikinis and beer parties and nightclubs and dances and darkness. No light, events to keep them out of church. Oh my, now we're getting into home territory.
On,
maybe even when we talk about bikini, we go to the beach and we think that we can dress a certain way because we're at the beach and we're out of the sight of all the believers. But then, you know, Facebook is a great revealer because it uncovers things that people do in secret. I've honestly been quite horrified at a lot of the things that I see show up on Facebook that people think is done in secret. And all these kind of things, you see what it is the devil is covering over your mind. The reason people do stuff like that is because they think they're right. If you go to the beach and you got a bathing suit on and you're uncovered for all the world to see, you're doing that because you think you're right, but you're not right. And what exposes your error is the word of God. And that's why I believe the word has to be preached in a cutting way. Sometimes it cuts and it hurts feelings and things because it exposes where we're wrong and then we can shape up. And see, events to keep them out of church. If there's something that you're doing on the side to keep you, now, again, we're not in church and things, we're at home or whatnot, but just apply that to the studying the Bible or putting God first. Because if there's anything in your life that you put first before God, then that is your God. That is your idol. That is the thing you worship. And that is why he's called the God of this evil age. Because he's usurped he's put himself in place over God. And instead of worshiping God, people are worshiping the devil. Why? Because they've got they'd rather watch a good Marvel movie. They'd rather watch a movie than go read their Bible. And they think they're right. Doesn't the scripture say that if you love the world or the things of this world, the love of God's not even in you? If you would rather go watch a good Marvel movie instead of reading the book of Revelation, I wonder if the love of God is in you. And now this is hitting hard. Maybe it's getting down to the wire a little bit. But listen, this is holding down time. And we're not here just to play church, but we're trying to get out of here. We're trying to get rapturing faith. And if rapturing faith comes by the opening of the seven seals, by the seven thunders, which is what Brother Ram said, then shouldn't we be aiming, have that as our goal to get into those deep things instead of all these things that warp our mind, all these websites and things that people get caught up with. And listen, I know it sounds like I'm hitting legalism a lot. And I've heard before people will say, well, if a minister really hits on adultery or pornography or all these kind of things, that means that minister's got a problem. He's got a secret problem. Well, if that logic was true, then a minister would never be able to preach the word. They would never be able to preach the slicing gospel. They would never be able to preach it. So listen, let's not get caught up in the deceitfulness of our minds, the imagination of our minds that the devil will put on us. But let's just stick straight with the truth of God's word. See, Brother Brown, I'm talking about how people say it don't hurt my conscience. It don't condemn me. And they're living in rebellion, so deceived. The word separates you from the children of disobedience. He said, oh dear, you should do this. Talking about what people will say. Oh dear, I think your old fogey preacher down there, you would look cute in a bikini or whatever what you call the thing. If you do all this, that, and the other, why? A little cigarette won't hurt nobody. I belong to church. And you know our denomination is looked up to as well as anybody's. Don't you believe that old painted up liar.
Amen.
She is lying to you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And anybody, whether it's not an old painted up liar, but a preacher with a nice haircut, anybody that would tell you anything contrary to the gospel, don't listen to that.
Right.
Because you will die if you disbelieve.
Amen.
One word. Faith in the full word is what will overcome death. Faith in the full word is what will overcome that last horse rider named death. Faith in the full word is what will take us out of here.
Amen.
I've got so many notes. I was listening to Brother Brown talking about, I got 6 pages. I'm going to skip over and everything. Sometimes you do that. But I'm going to finish up right here. And the musician can go ahead and come on. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Amen.
Be not ye therefore partakers
Amen.
With them. Be not Amen. Ye therefore partakers with them.
Amen.
The only way to avoid the fate of the deceived is to get in the word.
Amen.
The word is what will save us. I got wrote down here that Satan can try to take everything from us. But he can't take the power of the word. You know, as time goes on, that might be all you got left. Maybe the church doors will be closed. You might be home, wondering where your next meal is going to come. The devil can take all, he can take your money away from you. He can take your, all of these things away from you, but he can't take the revelation of God's word. Amen. Are we happy in the Lord tonight? Let's stand to our feet and just worship the Lord a little bit.
All ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, light of the world, life and mercy in his name, Jesus, light of the world, we'll walk in light, beautiful light, come where of mercies are bright, shine all around us by day and by night, Jesus, light of the world. Hear the Savior's earnest call, Jesus, light of the world.
We're walking in that light.
Send the gospel truth.
Didn't David say his word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path, or vice versa? His word is what shows us where to go.
Where the drops of mercy are bright. shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Why not sing Him victory? Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercies are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen. Walk in that light. Brother Bram said, you might not be able to see the end where you're going, the house at the end of the path, but just keep walking in the light of that lamp that lights our way, and you'll get to the destination. But you know what? I believe the light has shone so brightly that now we can see our destination. We can see where we're going. We're going to a capstone revelation. We're coming to the opening of the seals. We're coming to the revelation of a body change. We're coming to the revelation of what these symbols mean. And now we're at the end of the journey where all things are being manifest. It's manifesting time. And I believe now we're at a place where we should know what we're doing here. Amen. What are we doing here? I believe we're here to prove to the devil that we will not fall.
Amen.
All hearts clear? Everybody? Any? All right. Well, I'll turn it over to Brother Wade for the list read.
God bless you. Good job, Brother Bob.
Amen.
Amen. Good job. That was really wonderful. Very timely. Very good. By way of a couple announcements, number one, I'm going to try to get, if we can, Brother Joe, we haven't been here so long, a spider's made a web right here in front of the church. You, right here in front of the pulpit. Sorry, Mom. It's okay. But, we're going to try to get a video with Mom and Dad and let y'all see them. And we haven't seen our pastor in a while and his lovely wife, so we may do that and have that for Sunday. But on Sunday, Aaron, Sunday afternoon. I'm going to do Sunday morning. You do Sunday afternoon. You'll be here? You got it? Okay. All right. So I'll be doing Sunday morning. Sunday morning will be just like last Sunday. And then Brother Aaron will be 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. So thank you all for being patient. And like Brother Bob said, it's a tough time. But you know what? I always think about those people that went through the dark ages. They had to hide. They had to hide. We don't have to hide. They had to hide to meet. And if they were caught meeting, it wasn't just a slap on the wrist or putting you in the pokey for a couple of days. No, it was instant death. But they met anyway. They met anyway. They didn't care. They met. So we're going to meet. Amen. And I'm just praying that we can all get this thing out of the way. Mom's feeling much better. She just has maybe a rough time every once in a while now. So where it used to be a lot of time, but now it's just part of the time. So keep praying for them. They're going on August the 12th. To have their test done to see if everything's good and okay. Dad's doing fine. He is just, I don't think he's got any antibodies in his body. I think his whole blood system is just so full of the Holy Ghost delay and nothing's bothering him. He's standing there right there in the middle of that, COVID and nothing's bothering him. So, I told you, God brought the attention of Satan to Job. Remember, he said, you got a hedge around him. And then he said, well, if you lift up that hedge, well, see, he got to all the things around him. Then the last thing he done, he said, well, you got a hedge around his body. He said, well, you can play with his body. He said, but you leave his life alone. You see all these people in the message, though, Brother Howard Carroll, people like Dad keeping away from it, Brother Homer Longora, all these, and even Brother Louise, different ones, Mom, going through this, but we're going through it. It's not killing us off. It's like Job. He said, okay. Let's see. I want to see what your bride will do.
Right. Come on.
I want to see what your bride will do. Amen. God says, okay, You can grab a little flesh every once in a while and tickle it a little bit, put a virus in there. He said, but I say when their life ends.
Yeah, right.
I say
right.
when their life ends. Satan doesn't do that. Satan never says, I'm going to take that life.
Yes.
Not when you're a child of God. That's what I was thinking today, man. We are so blessed to be the children of God.
Amen.
To where he doesn't, and you say about God, God don't care about nothing but his bride. His bride is who he cares about right now, because if we don't defeat the devil in our flesh,
right.
then the whole program's done.
Exactly.
Done for. So he's going to, because we've already read the book.
Yeah.
We take a rapture. We take a body change. So we've already won. It's just we got to go through the journey. All right. Go through a little virus here and there.
Yeah.
We've been through them before, so we will make it through this trying time. So Sunday, Brother Michael, Brother Josiah, you be a son. Okay, be okay. Brother Tim Martinez, if he's feeling better. Brother Zach Black, Brother Bob, Brother Terrence, myself, Brother Josh, Brother Joe Canada, Brother Richard, Brother Luis, Brother Aaron, obviously better be here. Danny, Brother Danny, Brother Donnie, Brother Mark, and I thank Esther for coming.
Amen.
Because it just adds to the service to have a little more continuity. It's not that, but see, sometimes Richard's not here, sometimes Zach's not here. But when we got a piano player, then it helps in the song service. And everybody's shaking their head out to the congregation. It is, and I appreciate you doing what you're doing. So you keep Tony healthy, and he'll keep you healthy, and y'all both keep coming, okay? So I don't want any of you sisters to be jealous of Sister Esther. Don't be throwing things at her when you come back. But we need her where she's at to play the piano so that we can have some really good worship services and then hear some good preaching like we did tonight. So Brother Donnie Fawbush, Brother Tony, Sister Esther, Brother Gary Krantz, Brother Ryan, Brother Anderson, Brother John Durrett's going to do second service, song service. Brother Joe will be doing first service. And bring little John with you too. So, and Brother Kern, if you're listening, if you don't have to work this Sunday, you come on. But I think he does it every other Sunday for he has to work. So, if he's not, then I think that's enough. We keep our social distancing, make sure we keep our phase one going with the mask when we go downstairs. And God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Just take care of your family. It's a time of prayer.
Amen.
Brother Lee. Please do, because someone asked me about it today.
Yeah, people have been asking about it. The baby's still alive.
The
oxygen levels went up. Just a little bit.
Okay.
But it was pretty much on life support.
Okay.
But just pray, just continue to pray, and at least it's still living.
So yes, that's right. Amen. Just keep that little baby in your prayer. And she did have it? Okay. Okay, I know she had been in long labor. She was supposed to have delivered it yesterday. So that's their first baby. So let's just pray for little Charlie. He come into the world, so we got him here. So let's pray that the Lord will bless him. So let's bow our heads. All minds clear. Everything good? We all right? Everybody know about Sunday? Same 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And watch your social distancing. To Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you for the word that we've heard, Father. We pray now that we'll take it, Lord, and as we eat on it, Lord, may it become into our body, Father, and give us strength and energy to defeat the devil with. Because only the word of God can do that, Father.
Amen.
We pray that you'd just be with us now as we go to our homes, that you would take care of us, Lord. May the healing angel visit each one of us, Lord, this evening. Anyone that has an affliction or something, Lord, and your little bride, we remember that one time where the prophet told the story, and it wasn't a story, it was truth, where he had prayed for the two sisters, and they went to their respective homes, and they weren't healed instantly, Lord, but you said just a few days later, the healing angel, what a prophet, the healing angel made a visit to that community and healed both of those sisters. Lord, we pray that you'd send the healing angel to the home, Lord, to the ones that need you, Father. Especially, Lord, the ones that preach the gospel. It seems like Satan is trying to knock the ones down, Lord, that that preach your gospel, Father, and we pray that you just put a special anointing on them, Father, that we can still hear the truth, Lord, as we heard tonight. Father, we pray that you be with Brother Dale and Sister Dale. Keep them strong. Bless each one now as we go our separate ways. Lord, be with little Charlie up there, Father. Give comfort to Nathaniel and his wife, Father Caitlin. We pray that you just, Lord, come down now truly and anoint the whole room that little baby's in, Father. And not just take care of that little child. If he's in ICU, Lord, we pray that you'd touch every child around that place. Lord, that you'd especially touch the mother and the father, Lord. And we pray and expect to hear a good report tomorrow, Lord. Father, we thank you for all the things you've given us. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.